Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Ball in his hands, in the paint, floater, short, got it back, ties it with three. Gonzaga has time to do something. Sox for the win. Oh, oh yes, unbelievable.
R.J. Hunter for three. Goal! Ron Hunter has fallen off his stool for good reason. Georgia State up by one.
Collins driving, almost lost the handle. Chalmers for the tie.
Got it!
10 seconds! Unbelievable!
The clock's gonna run out! The ultimate upset has happened! A 16 has beaten a 1! UMBC knocks off Virginia!
3 seconds at midcourt.
Jenkins
gives it to Jenkins for the championship!
KU not fouling. Love fades, shoots. He misses! He misses! And Kansas will win! It's a bear! Kansas basketball.
Walker for the lead.
Hawkins, Cuba, and Campbell. It would have counted had it gone, and Gonzaga survives. They're going to the Elite Eight in a thriller.
Here's Hauser, gives it up. Clock ticks. Hall finding Walker. Walker already stripped by Noel. Ball is loose. Noel comes out of the pack. Noel dribbles and he lays it in. Count the basket and Kansas State wins it. The Wildcats are headed for the Elite Eight.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Everybody recovered from last night? Recovered from that? My goodness. Bookend. The beginning and the end. The first game and the last game. The middle games, forget them. Just move on. I know the Tennessee-FAU game was, I guess, more entertaining than the Arkansas-UConn game. But I don't know if I watched a total of 5 minutes combined of the middle two games where I watched every second of K-State and Michigan State and every second of UCLA Gonzaga on the March Madness Live app on my iPad. I had the other games going, but really I was doing more preparing for a fantasy baseball draft when it was at commercials than watching the March Madness Live app when it was commercials with the regular games. It was a dynamite night with those two games, instant classic games. Gonzaga, UCLA always play amazing games. They should make the whole plane out of UCLA, Gonzaga.
Why not?
I don't understand. If that thing is indestructible, that black box is indestructible, just make the whole plane out of UCLA, Gonzaga. They should play every single day for the tournament. We don't even have the opening round of Thursday and Friday.
Don't need it.
We just have Gonzaga, UCLA play, and then the next day they play. And on to the round of 32 they play. We simulate the other games to see who wins, but it's just UCLA, or they take on the role of another team. Like UCLA, ooh, Gonzaga, they flip a coin. Okay, I guess we'll be Fairleigh Dickinson today. All right, you're Purdue. Well, good luck winning. Oh, wait, that actually happened anyway. But my goodness, what a great game that was last night. Instant classic. And maybe the best performance of a local player in the NCAA tournament. And I know Danny Manning was amazing and championship game, right? And winning a championship sets it apart.
Give Marquise Noel some time.
But that was unbelievable. I don't know that I've ever, like in person, I was 8 years old when Danny and the Miracles happened. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to really appreciate what I'm watching. I don't know that I remember a performance like that in the NCAA tournament. Steph Curry was amazing. You know, he was scoring 30-something points, and it was like, wow, this guy's bombing threes. And it was cool because it was Davidson. Mm-hmm. It's a small shooter from Davidson. His dad is Del Curry, and it's a cool story. And his dad went to Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech and Seth Greenberg offered him a walk-on spot. And, you know, he thought he was good enough for an actual scholarship, so he said, no, thank you, Virginia Tech. I'm going to go to Davidson and get a scholarship. Sorry for you. And it was a cool story, right? But Noel controlled 45 minutes last night. Well, 41.
Yeah, right. Right.
The minutes that he was in the game. And it was even more evident when he was out of the game. Just the difference he made on the floor. And it's why we talk about with the NCAA tournament, it's a guard game. When it comes to the NCAA tournament, I like picking teams with guards. What can those guys that are controlling the rock the whole game? And Noel had played some phenomenal basketball in the first two rounds. I didn't think there was another level to get to. Just play that way in the first two rounds, and K-State's looking pretty good. But to take it to a higher level, to play at a level that, again, I don't know that I remember. Like, At Allen Fieldhouse, Dick Vitale gave Nick Collison a standing ovation when he had a 20-rebound game. Regular season, 20 rebounds, great game, awesome game. Dick Vitale loved it, gave him a standing ovation. That's great. This is 20 points, 19 assists to go along with 5 steals, to go along with 3 rebounds, and 2 turnovers. He had 3 more steals than he did turnovers. He had 17 more assists than he had turnovers, and he also scored 20 points and completely controlled that game. It was, I tweeted it last night after the game was over, it was an absolute work of art. If there was an artist, if you could make a comparison from an artist to an athlete, last night was Marquise Noel's magnum opus of just brilliance on the canvas the entire night. And I don't think it can be overstated with how amazing that game was. And they are in the Elite Eight for a number of different reasons. For the whole season, and Jerome Tang, we've talked about it, Josh, and, you know, Keontae Johnson and Masood and, you know, different guys stepping up and playing well at different nights. But it was a Herculean effort by the smallest guy on the floor.
And it was absolutely a work of art. Andy Reid might call it one of Mozart's greatest paintings. Like, it really was something that is hard to overstate. And there are so many places where this lines up that I don't even feel a tiny bit bad for making this comparison. That was a Mahomes performance. On like 100 levels. The ankle, of course, being somehow just as spectacular on a bum ankle. I'm watching right now just a loop of that play where he drives, tries the pass, he loses it, circles around himself. All like this is he's got a flat tire at this point, and then he sort of chest passes up that banked in three.
The lucky shot.
Luck had something to do with it. I watched the Tom Izzo interview live, and I thought, he seems like not terrible sour grapes. And then he said lucky like 2 or 3 times. Like, man, you almost got out of that one looking like just a nice guy. Whatever. But
I really like Tom Izzo.
It was Mahomesian because it wasn't just the bum ankle and the Herculean effort. Everything ran through him. Everything. When the ball was out of his hands, it felt like the rest of the team was just waiting for a chance to give it back. And not in the Purdue everyone's afraid sense, because that's not the case. Masood was ready for those moments again, and rightfully so, even as I was very afraid a couple of times, as if those shots were going to go down. But the analogy that most resonated last night is it looked like you were watching someone play 2K when you are controlling the creative player and then everybody else is just the NPCs, the CPU-controlled guys. Again, not because it wasn't a team effort. It was. Those dudes were hitting shots. But in particular, it was like If you are controlling the point guard, you're bringing the ball up, you make a quick pass, you try to get the ball back to you again, you got a shot, no you don't, go ahead and drive. Then you're deciding everything that's happening in real time. Marquise Noel was holding the controller to the point that he took it from Jerome Tang, and he was right. And even if it was totally improv at the time, what is more Mahomes-Kelce read than that lob argument? Keontae Johnson is basically in do-it-Kelce mode to Noel's Patrick Mahomes performance.
I love it.
And either Jerome Tang is arguing with Noel at the top of the key, or they're going through the motions, and they've maintained that they were actually just going through it there. A remarkable performance that almost defies hyperbole.
What's more badass? The Marquise Noel bringing the ball up and actually arguing with Jerome Tang. Jerome Tang wants to run something. Noel wants to run something else and sort of makes eye contact with Keontae Johnson and just goes, you know, bleep it. Tyreek down there somewhere.
Yep.
Bleep it. Keontae down there somewhere. Throws the lob.
Keontae up there somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. Is that more badass or them actually pantomiming an argument to distract Michigan State to run a backdoor cut? I don't know what would be a cooler story, because both of those are pretty awesome.
Yes.
I'm just not sure which one I would choose to then tell the story 30 years from now about that lob in overtime to take the lead.
I love that question, and I do have my answer, because I think the cooler story in 30 years is to be able to use that moment as a touch point to explain the relationship between those three guys.
Interesting.
To say they are in crunch time of an Elite Eight game that has had its hair on fire. It was perfect college basketball last night. But you have an actual tense moment between your star player who's been on a heater and your head coach who's the national coach of the year. And in real time, they are going back and forth. And eventually, it looks like Jerome Tang gives him the, all right, I trust you. And then he trusts Keontae Johnson at midair. And it's a perfect highlight for all time. And the amount of trust and chemistry that have to come in there, I actually think will be a better story in 30 years. But I do love some good acting on a sporting field of any sort. Court, Chiefs, wherever it may be. It's all acting is great. I like the story better, I think, with the chemistry and the relationships.
I appreciate Keontae Johnson also increasing the level of difficulty and the flair by go ahead and saying, you know what, let me just reverse this.
Let me just do it backwards.
I mean, I can catch it and dunk it,
yeah.
But what if I turned around and also reverse dunked it just for S's and G's because I'm pretty badass, and this is what I do.
And Michigan State wasn't missing. Like, it was just clean, excellent ball.
That game last night, and I'll draw another comparison of still an open sore to a degree. There's offense when players aren't guarded.
Yep.
Like a game we saw last Saturday.
Yeah, your Princeton Tigers.
That's right. The Tigers. Mm-hmm. You know, Tigers won. I told you Tigers would win that Saturday. It would be a tiger or a cat. It'd be a, you know, it'd be a cat of some sort. There's that. And then there's the shot making from last night. The creating to get shots. Those teams were not playing lazy defense. Those teams were locked in every possession. And it still ended up 98-93. That's what makes something like that entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, it can be it's a close game. They won 45-42. Was that a good game? Well, it was a close game, but yep. Was it a fun game? And there's also the, they are just choosing not to play defense. Defense is an activity until they get the ball back on offense. Yep. Defense is a way to pass time before they get to get the ball back and go score. It's Loyola Marymount, Michigan, you know, of a while ago. They're just, you know what? Okay, they scored. I don't care. Let's get the ball. Let's go score ourselves. They got the ball. All right. What are we going to do on offense while this team is scoring? No. It was a locked-in group. I want to play this clip that we played yesterday. There's tons of stuff that we're going to play today from Jerome Tang and Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson. And I put together a mix from last night's game that I'm pretty proud of. Not going to lie. And let's play this clip, though, from yesterday. We played this. We talked about it. And this is Marquise Noel talking about how teams guard him.
I determine how the game is going to go. I mean, I'm not really focused on, you know, what they did in the past versus other good point guards. I played in the toughest league in the country, which is the Big 12. You have all types of Hall of Fame coaches that, you know, scout.
It's just that beginning part. I determine how the game's going to go.
He did.
And he backed it up.
Promises kept.
I mean, at Madison Square Garden, it's a storybook is what it is for Noel, for Masood, who's from New York.
Were you screaming no when that shot was in the air? I'm volunteering this information. The inbound play, the deep two, the fadeaway. No. When he pulled up, I said out loud, no!
No, I thought I said good.
I didn't.
Because he was locked in.
He was.
And when a shooter's got the feel like that, he can knock it down from 15, from 30, from 25. It's just your night.
But then sometimes Marquise Noel tries one from the other side of half court, and you're like, man, please, you are on fire. You don't have to live like this.
Three times.
Which time? Yeah.
Yeah, three times.
Yeah, terrifying.
The third one, I'm like, oh, my goodness, it was an air ball, but it was tipped.
He wanted that shot so bad.
I know.
And I get it.
I know, and the announcers are like, it's just a bad decision. Well, how do you know? It might have gone in.
Well,
it
somebody,
was tipped. Like, that may have made it. I don't know. It was tipped.
I can't remember who on the crew made the point. They said, hey, you know, I think Jerome Tang's honestly okay with those because that is letting those guys show their personality. I don't know if that was a clip we played, if that was just something we heard when they were having their full presses of letting those guys be the joyful basketball players that they are. It's not just not just talking the talk for Jerome Tang. That's actually part of it. Marquise Noel knew he could heave up three half-court shots and that he would still get the ball in crunch time because he had deserved it. And that whole team's relationship was so fascinating to me.
Let's play that clip from last night's postgame. Jerome Tang at the podium was asked about how he gets his team to play with that much joy and passion and enthusiasm, to play free, to feel like they can do things like that. Take a, you know, 40, 45 foot jumper, it seems like. How he does that to get his team to play with so much joy.
You know, they've all played this game for a really long time, and they all see the game a certain way. And my job is not to make them see it the way I want it played. My job is to figure out how they play best and then put them in an environment where they can do that. And so they know I have confidence in them. I know they want to win. And so any shot or play is made is never made with that they're trying to do something to hurt the team. They're trying to help the team. And so, I mean, we only had 8 turnovers today. So I'd rather him shoot from the logo than turn the ball over.
I love that line.
I love Jerome Tang!
And the you have to see it, too. Like, the facial expression that he used, it was almost like a... Annoyed is, I don't even know the right word to describe, like when he said, I'd rather, you know, him, you know, shoot from there than turn the ball over. Like, you know, yeah, you understand how many times we've turned, like, we've been battling turnovers all year. You kidding me? I'll take that.
Yep.
Of course. You know, like, very convicted in his view of, I'm not just joking here. I would rather him take that shot than turn the ball over. Well, he only turned it over twice. He took more... Rockin' Jock 5-point shots, MTV Rockin' Jock 5-point shots, than he did had turnovers in the game. And I believe Jerome Tang when he says, like, yeah, I'd rather him take that shot than turn the ball over. At least you got a chance for that thing to go in, and you got a chance for an offensive rebound to take place. Turnover, you don't get a shot. You don't get the ball. And a live turnover goes the other way, and they're scoring. So, it was a dynamite performance last night. Keontae Johnson was up to the task. Ish Masood was up to the task. I mean, so many guys. Carter, a couple of big threes. I mean, they were down.
Keontae Johnson led the team in scoring. This is the first time I've looked at the box score at any point. I didn't need it.
They were down 70-67.
Yeah.
And they went on a 10-0 run, which started with a Cam Carter three. Just, you know, not wide open. Just a Noel dribbling, kicks it out to Cam Carter on the wing. Pure, takes the shot, splash, tie game. And then they score 7 more points, and all of a sudden, you know, they're up by, you know, 7 points. But they were down 3. And if that shot doesn't go, I don't know. I don't know what happens. As we take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll play some more clips from last night and continue to talk about this game that I don't think can be overstated for the performance that Marquise Noel and the K-State team put on. You know, because Noel, we'll play a clip, but, you know, to paraphrase, Noel talked about that. I don't have 19 assists if these guys don't make shots.
And they did a great job talking about it in the broadcast at halftime, too, of saying, hey, sometimes you run into these assists because you guys are making shots. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you could say, all right, you're controlling the game and creating these shots for guys, but they still got to hit them. I mean, it is just beautiful basketball.
I think both happened last night.
Yes, absolutely.
I think Noel got some assists by just kicking it out to a shooter who knocked it down. And Noel got assists by creating, breaking down the defense, getting into the paint, and then dishing it to a guy when help defense came.
And both of these teams, slugfest. Yeah. There were, how many times were there? 5, 6, 10 times when you could go, oh man, maybe this is the time where one of these teams is going to pull away. And it never happened.
Answer the bell, answer the bell, answer the bell, time and time and time again. Until Michigan State ran out of time, and Noel strips the ball from a guy who had a phenomenal game himself.
Yep.
It was great. And last point on the with this segment, and we'll again talk about 20 other things from this game. You made the comparison to the Chiefs and like a Patrick Mahomes sort of game and things like that. I'll make the comparison a little bit to the Chiefs, where I'll go opposite from an amazing moment that took place that then sort of got lost in history because of what happened after that. So I think it was important, for obvious reasons, for K-State in winning. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about the legacy and that performance for Noel, I do think there's an added element of winning. Losing the game, it would be, oh, man, he was so awesome. But they didn't win. And they lost in the Sweet 16, and Michigan State was game. And what happened? How did you lose that game when Noel had 20 points and 19 assists and you know, I don't know, 4 steals, right, instead of 5?
Oh, no.
Very right. quickly, the Chiefs are re-signing Blake Bell to a one-year contract.
Very good.
Huh.
Okay.
That's actually kind of interesting.
Good for Blake Bell. Speaking of the Chiefs, though, the 13 seconds against the Buffalo Bills was awesome and historic for about 6 days.
Yep.
And it does change when you have that second half against the Bengals in the AFC Championship game. If they went on to the Super Bowl and even lost the Super Bowl, 13 seconds has a bigger meaning around it. It's got a pretty big meaning, but it's elevated even. In Buffalo, it's got a big meaning because it just ended their season.
Right.
The Chiefs remember that year more for the collapse against the Bengals than the 13 seconds, whereas you win that AFC championship, it would be a lot of the 13 seconds. I don't think K-State has to win on Saturday to then stamp what Marquise Noel did last night.
I agree.
That was, in and of itself, an amazing performance and got his team to the Elite Eight. And we'll see what happens. Florida Atlantic is a good team, athletic, and they can bomb away from three. It's the ultimate equalizer. They were down 6 to Tennessee with like 4.5 to go. You don't typically come back on a team like Tennessee that can D up and is physical. You don't really do that. And then all of a sudden, Florida Atlantic hit 4 straight 3s. Like, bing, 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 bing. That's game. Because that's how quick it can happen for a team that can get hot and has a number of shooters on the floor. Or as Konzo would say, on the floor. Mm-hmm. When you have those guys out there. So I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I think K-State's going to win, but I don't know what's going to happen. If K-State loses, it doesn't change anything from last night.
Absolutely.
And Marquise Noel, whereas I do think the 13 seconds has changed in the history of the Chiefs by what happened in the second half against the Bengals.
You know, as long as FAU doesn't shoot something crazy like 52% from three. Oh, that's what Michigan State did? So maybe it won't matter.
I mean, honestly,
these two teams combined for 49% from three.
Open wound again.
52 or something from the floor.
Let me grab my box score real quick.
Oh no!
Just so I can look at. So I get it right here.
I'm just doing fun with numbers because it's just a perfect shooting game last night. I just love it.
So Michigan State shot 50% from the field.
Yeah.
52% from three and 82% from the free throw line and lost.
Mm-hmm.
Another open wound. It's a little Mizzou Norfolk State. When Mizzou shot 60% from the field, like 45% from three, and 90% from the free throw line, and still lost the game. Because the other team's out there banking in lucky shots! All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We will hear from Jerome Tang, Marquise Noel, and very proud of my Marquise Noel K-State mix that I put together from last night's game.
We'll hey, could you hand me a pen really quick?
Yeah.
Oh, nope, sorry. Marquise Noel just threw one to me. Never mind.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
The other part of that is that I completely forgot what the second part of that was.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll talk with Matt Derrick coming up at 11 o'clock, Chiefs Digest. Mick Schaefer will hang out with us in the noon hour and the 1 o'clock hour as well. We will play the sound bites, the clips that have been eliminated in the bracket of sound from last night. The four teams no longer playing in the NCAA tournament, that being Tennessee, Michigan State, Arkansas, and UCLA. UCLA? UCLA? Don't know how to pronounce it. Never heard of them.
Usla.
Ah, soft that's what it is. C. It's off C. Yep, that makes sense. Let's hear from the Wildcats last night after the game. Jerome Tang. This was a quick, like, 10-second bite, but it's still entertaining, and I think it goes to sort of the heart of how this team is and why this team is still playing. Here's Jerome Tang, the feeling after the win.
I'm just really, really thankful I get to yell at them at practice one more day. And, you know, we just get to spend another day and dap each other up, getting on and off the ball, all the little things that really, really matter. Man, I'm just so thankful for that.
You got something rolling when you look forward to being around people,
yep.
When you look forward to going. I'll juxtapose that with the defending runner-up, if that's even a thing, from last year, North Carolina, that didn't make the NCAA tournament and chose not to play in the NIT.
It's a great call.
They didn't want to be around each other anymore. They didn't want to keep playing. They didn't want to keep at least having the experiences, even if it's the NIT. Now we're done. I don't really care about going and practicing and doing all that stuff. We're done. This is, I just get another day with them. Like, I get to yell at them in practice and the guys laugh. I get to dap them up, you know, I get just to be around them. And that's a huge difference. When North Carolina turned down the NIT, it told me a lot about why their season went the way it did. Because if you don't want to continue playing, to me, it says you don't really enjoy being around each other that much. And this team certainly has that. Jerome Tang talking about what the win means last night at the podium.
It means I get to spend a few more days with our guys. It's a huge accomplishment. I mean, this thing is hard, right? It's hard to do. And so, man, when it happens, you just have to really embrace it and enjoy it and not, like, take a moment, you know? We got to take a moment and just really soak this thing in before we move on to the next thing. Now, the next thing is really huge, whoever we have to play. And, you know, but we've kind of just taken everything 1-0 every day in every aspect of the day. And so I'm really thankful for the opportunity.
I mean, it's back-to-back. Like, it's the beginning when he talks about how excited he is to have one more day around these guys. And then what does it mean? You know, and it was kind of a question of like, hey, you know, bigger meaning of this program. And, I get to spend more time with these guys. And it's hard, you know, and take the thing one day at a time and the first things first and all of that stuff. Here's Jerome Tang. The question is included here in the clip about Michigan State calls the timeout, down by three there with, like, what, 14 seconds to go after the Massoud, 18-foot jumper on the baseline. And here's the question about what went on in the huddle.
What did you tell your team before that last defensive play in the overtime?
Get a stop. You know, we tried to align the matchup so that when they set screens and we switched, we had more size on their guards because they did a good job of getting downhill and then shooting over the top of our smaller guards. And then, but Cam did a great job of getting a deflection, and then somebody else got one. And, you know, when that ball was bouncing around, you know, and not in their hands, it played in our favor.
Yeah, get a stop. What did you tell him? Get a stop. Don't let him score. That's what I told him. I actually thought when the ball went to Walker and he was so far away, I thought they were going to foul. I really did. I thought they were going to foul because at that point there was like, what, 4 seconds left or something like that. And like, okay, is this the time? They're not in a shooting mode. You want to have the time tick down to a certain spot. And then if you can foul, you can foul. If not, you don't want to foul a shooter, you know, as he's, you know, getting ready to shoot the ball, because then they get three free throws. And it was a risk that, you know, Noel went and went for the steal when Walker was, you know, rising to take the three. But, you know, he got it done. Jerome Tang was asked, hey, you know, the Big 12 and football and this and that and a football conference. And do you think the Big 12 is starting to become a basketball conference?
Yeah, I think we've been a basketball conference. The last 4 years we've had the number one rating. And I mean, this year I thought we had 10 teams in our league that could play in the NCAA tournament. This is not new. The last two national champions have been from our conference. And if it wasn't for COVID,
I think it would have been the last three. And even if you back up one, Texas Tech losing in overtime, it could have been four in a row. So we've been a basketball club. We're the best basketball conference in the country. And the coaches in our league are Hall of Famers. And I'm just thankful to be in, even associated with any of them.
They got a chance to get two Final Four teams. The Big 12 does. K-State and Texas. Texas still alive. They play tonight here in Kansas City. We'll have Stephen St. John will be down there hanging out. You know, with on and
somebody will be with him probably.
Josh Briscoe.
Oh, I am.
I was getting to that.
You're so
Stephen
right.
John
Me
and Josh Briscoe will be there hanging out and hyping up the crowd and all of that stuff. So that's fun. But yeah, it is a phenomenal basketball conference. A couple of clips from Marquise Noel. He was having a lot of fun on the court, obviously, because he was also talking with the crowd. I wanted to leave this question in because, you know, the back and forth that takes place. But this is about talking to the crowd. Then there's a follow-up about his ankle and you know, getting hurt and then coming back in the game. But here's that interaction. And by the way, when you hear somebody say it is, that's not Noel, that's Masood that's saying that. So I don't want it to sound like Noel stepping up and saying it is my city, but take a listen.
A couple of people said before the alley-oop to Keyonte, you looked at the crowd and said, watch this. Can you confirm or deny that?
Dang, I got to watch what I say. I mean,
so you
I'll
did
be in
say
the zone.
Okay.
Yeah, I was talking to Isaiah Thomas because I think he had a friend over there, and he was rooting for them, and I'm like, y'all not going to win today. And I just kept looking at him for some, you know, added motivation, but, you know, it was nothing but cool vibes with them over there.
So that was the one at the end. Let's play the clip of talking to the crowd and the ankle. The question is included with that as well. Here he is. And there was two talking with the crowd with questions in there. This is the one about it's about a minute long. And again, if you hear somebody say it is, that's Ish Masood.
Running down the court, it looked like you yelled, this is my city, a time
yeah,
or two.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Okay,
yeah, it is.
Just want to make sure that was accurate. And I just wonder if you could also describe the pain you were in and what it took to get back in the game and at that moment. And if Ish and Keyonte could speak to what it meant when he came back in, please.
You know what?
Go ahead, Keyonte.
I mean, it means a lot. I mean, he's our starting point guard. His IQ, his feel for the game, he brings everybody confidence. And for when he came back, I mean, I felt like just everybody seen how he was trying to fight through his injury, and we just wanted to fight back for him. So,
I just wanted to do it for my teammates, man. I just love being out there with these guys. And I wasn't going to let a little injury like this that, you know, happens on the basketball court all the time to stop me from playing in the Sweet 16 and advancing to the Elite 8. But, man, you know, got to give credit to my teammates for holding it down when I was out and for battling.
And then the last one, on the alley-oop, the questions in there as well, as you know, trying to figure out if that was a called play. Were you acting? Was this improv? What took place?
On the reverse alley-oop play, is that a fake play call you guys are doing between each other? What's going on there?
We'll start with Marquise.
Tell him because then the next team knows.
I mean, it was just a basketball play between me and Keyonte. We knew how Michigan State, you know, plays defense. They play high up. And Keyonte just told me, like, we got eye contact, and he was like, lob, lob. You know, I just threw it up, and he made a great play.
So it was ad-libbed, or as Jerome Tang said, hey, don't say anything, and the next team will know that. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll play the K-State, the Marquise Noel mix from last night's amazing performance and amazing game.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
This is this guy has a rough luck with the mouth.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We'll talk with Matt Derrick coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Chiefs Digest. Mick Schaefer will hang out with us as well. Bracket of Sound, the clips that were eliminated, or the teams that were eliminated, we will play those and get the cuts before the show is over. So last night, amazing performance and 19 assists, 20 points. So let's take a listen as to how it went down in a little mix we put together for K-State, Marquise Noel, winning a phenomenal game and heading to the Elite Eight.
That's a beautiful pass by Noel as he sets up David Gasan. I never meant to call you. Noel drives it, good lead, and Keontae Johnson. What a combo these two have become here.
They banked in two shot clock threes, and they made some big plays, but some of those plays weren't big plays. They were lucky plays.
Noel pounded out there by Tyson Walker, an excellent defender. Oh, what a pass! My goodness! Oh! Tomlin scores it. Great catch by the big man. And one. Noel tried to turn the corner. Cannot. Redirects. Kicks it to the corner. Here's Johnson. Keontae Johnson set up again. Noel finding Tomlin. Gets the other side of the rim. Lays it in. Kept alive by Johnson. Tomlin ends up with the board. Here's Noel for three. Oh! He walked away from it. He knew it was good. Three-point game. Noel moving fast. Leads it for Johnson. Great defense here to get him into the Sweet 16. Noel finds Carter. Perfect pass. Right on the money. And Carter knocks it down. I want to be some kind of friend. Over to his buddy. And another one is down for Ish Masood. Baby, I can never steal you. Another turnover. Michigan State gives it away. On the run out, Noel. Noel playing on a bad ankle. He finds Masood again from the logo. Masood. Look at Noel cutting to the basket. The big man, Tomlin, finds it. Return of the favor. Noel, hot pass. Runs it down. Puts it up. Late clock. Oh, are you kidding? Okay.
I mean, this is just awareness of understanding the shot clock, time and score, get it up. Maybe if you miss, there's an opportunity for an offensive rebound, but what a heads-up play.
Coach in 1 minute. Noel shakes Hall. Noel with the mid-range jumper. The fadeaway from Noel. He's cooking. Malik Hall is on him. And Noel going to work. Oh, what a pass. And Johnson is there for the dunk. Just drawing all the traffic. The vortex. Noel gives it to Carter. Straight line drive, and he lays it in. Noel and Masood, two-man game here. Looking for the back door. He gets it. Carter. Great pass. Gasan puts the Wildcats in front. Noel drawing a lot of traffic. Bounce pass into Gasan, and he lays it in. Assist number 17 for Noel. Second most in NCAA tournament history. Jerome Tang sets it up. Going for the line.
Fall asleep on the back line. Just throws it up and he gets behind him.
There's the pass, and it is Masood. And Masood hits a huge shot. They're down three. Here's Hauser, gives it up. Clock ticks. Hall finding Walker. Walker already stripped by Noel. Ball is loose. Noel comes out of the path. Noel dribbles. And he lays it in.
Amazing performance by Marquise Noel and the entire K-State Wildcat team. I'm happy we got to witness that, right?
Me too.
I mean, it's one of those things to where we, and it's great when, like, you know, local players, local teams, that the country, because watching Twitter react to that game, the amount of fans that Marquise Noel gained last night was phenomenal.
A lot of 5'8 dudes buying jerseys last night. That's not even a joke. That's a real thing I saw happening. Deservedly so.
Yeah. I mean, just
incredible.
So many. Noel's quickly becoming my favorite player. Oh, my God. I just want to keep watching Noel. I'm now becoming a K-State fan this tournament because of what I'm watching right now. I don't know if there's much that's more fun than watching a smaller point guard just dominate the game.